Welcome to this podcast is making me thirsty, the number one destination for Seinfeld fans. This is episode 160. Today's guest is the author of the acclaimed book, All Is Not Lost. You know her from Sons and Daughters, Muscle, The Invisible Man, Seventh Heaven. And of course, she played George's girlfriend, Allison, in the season 8 episode of Seinfeld, The Susie. Please welcome Shannon Kenny Carbonell. Shannon, thank you for joining.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad we could do this. It's very exciting.
All right, Shannon, take us back 26 years ago. It doesn't look it, believe me, but The Susie aired on NBC to 32 million people. A huge hit, obviously, season 8. Tell us a little bit about the role, how Allison, you know, George's girlfriend, came about. Was there an audition process? Tell us a little bit about the role.
Yes, there was an audition process. But first of all, there's a funny story about how many people did you say? 32 million?
32 million watched that night, yeah.
Because I was really nervous in the taping. And and I'm going to forget his name. You know, the guy, there was the guy who had the parking dispute and he was on it.
Lee Ehrenberg.
Yes, Lee
Ehrenberg.
So yeah. I was about to go on and I was really nervous. And he goes, "How are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm really nervous." He goes, "You should be, because 30 something million people are going to watch this." And I was like, "Now I'm really nervous." So I was nervous.
Wow.
But yes, I auditioned later in the week. So I think they had already rehearsed 2 days and I maybe came in on the Tuesday afternoon to audition. And I remember I had just got back from Australia. So it must have been after Christmas, I think. And Nestor and I had been on this fitness kick and Australia has a lot of hills and stuff. And he'd been running me up these hills. So I had gotten really fit, which is part of the reason why I think that I might have gotten the role, because I was like thinner than usual. I'm usually a little festively plump, but I was like kind of skinny. And she had to like be able to come in a backless dress and all that stuff. So I think I was the right body type, but I did a good audition. They all laughed. And then I never really realized why they laughed. And I got the job. And then I was there Wednesday, Thursday. I think we taped Friday night.
That's great. Yeah, that's a great story with Lee as well, because we actually spoke with him about both those episodes, and he was a lot of fun. So that's great to hear.
So funny.
Yeah. And it's funny that was supposed to calm you down, right? All of a sudden, you're like, wow, 30 million people. So with that, I guess with that said, I'm guessing then, because this is season 8, so the show had been on quite a bit then. Had you, you know, had any other, I guess maybe not auditions, but had you thought about getting on before? Were you a fan of the show? Was this something that was kind of in your world, yeah, as far as like, let's try and get on Seinfeld? Had you been, watching it as a fan by that point too, as well?
Yes. I loved it. I'd watch it even from the very beginning with that really funky, weird, was it 6 episode beginning? 4.
The 4 episodes early on. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd loved it. And I'd never had an audition for it before. And the role was, you know, it wasn't like a huge role, but we had decided, not that I was getting huge, huge roles, but that we decided this is like the last season, I think, or the second to last.
And second to last, yeah.
And let's grab it, because, you know, the show is not going to be on much longer. And I'm really glad we did. It was a great experience. It was a really great experience.
And it sounds like you were a good fan, because you mentioned Lee Ehrenberg and you didn't even mention what he did in your episode. You referred to the parking dispute. So a lot of respect for you there.
Yes. I should have looked up his name before I told the story. But yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew exactly who he was.
So that Tuesday, boom, and you just get the role. And I'm just curious, when you auditioned, obviously you have an Australian accent. Do you audition with that, or do you?
Yeah, I didn't really did. I don't know. I haven't watched the episode, but I think I did an American accent with that role.
Yeah.
And it was much better than my accent now. because I was always using an American accent, which is really hard. When I first started auditioning, I used my own accent, but then I was only getting British roles and Australian roles, which there weren't very many of. So then I decided consciously to change my accent, which was like putting on wet underwear that was two sizes too small. It was awful because I had to try to change it in everyday speech as well. And I kind of just did it. And I spoke with an American accent for a long time. But now that I've been out of the business for a while, I think my Australian accent's just crept back in.
So, yeah. You be you. So that episode, again, like you said, 1997, February it aired, 32 million people, Seinfeld at its peak, still season 8. David Mandel wrote it. Really memorable episode. You mentioned Lee Ehrenberg, but you obviously had some really iconic scenes with, you know, two of the greatest, you know, I would say, you know, actors of their generation, with Jason Alexander and obviously Michael Richards. So kick us off that first scene. First off, you are dating George Costanza. Would that ever happen in real life?
I loved Jason. You know what? It could. I mean, yeah, it could.
Yeah.
I mean, Ness will hate me saying this, but you know, I used to date this. Do you know Peter Jacobson, the actor?
Yeah.
He's like, he was much shorter than me, Jewish guy. Yes, I would have totally dated a Jason. I really would have. And he was, I loved him. I wouldn't have dated him, who's much older than me, I think, at the time. But he was such a great guy. He was really caring and just really, I'm not going to say compliant. That's not the word. He was a team player. And one great story I have about him was he had a way, because you sat in the audience too. There were no trailers to go and hide in between your scenes, which I just loved, because I was pretty shy on sets when I was a guest star, and I would often sneak into my trailer and just kind of, I don't know, be unseen. But you had to sit in the bleachers on the Seinfeld set and watch everybody rehearse. And I watched Jason rehearse a scene, and he had a way of doing a line, and then Jerry had a different way to do it. And they kind of went back and forth, and Jason sort of deferred to Jerry and said, no, I think you're right. I'll do it this way. And they were really good with each other. It wasn't a butting of heads, but it was a sort of a, they were collaborating on the way to tell the joke. Anyway. And I remember he would call Jerry boss. He'd be like, yes, boss, no boss. And then on the night, the joke didn't work. And then I saw them, you know, coming down and talking, and I could see that they were saying, do the joke the way that you originally had thought to do the joke. And he did. And then the joke was fantastic. Everybody laughed. And I just thought that Jason was willing to sort of go in a different creative way and try the joke the other way. And then that Jerry was willing to then concede once they tested it on the audience and think, well, maybe Jason's way was the way to go. Well, I just thought it was amazing to watch as an actor, to watch them both really play with each other and not have any ego about, you know, whether it worked or it didn't, which this way or that way.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, no, that is a great story. And that is great to hear, because we've heard about the unselfishness, and that just epitomizes it right there between both of them, really, like you said, for Jerry to concede and for George to kind of find, because they just wanted to really just find the funny is really all they're caring about. And that's
right.
You don't see that everywhere, I'm assuming. And that was kind of leading to my next question, because it sounds like we've heard from other guest stars about watching the main four, you know, rehearse, or like you said, some Michael Richards especially going in at that door. But we didn't realize that that's how it sounds like they set it up that way to not have those trailers, like you mentioned. That's a new thing I haven't heard, where it's like you were kind of not really forced, but you kind of, they kept everyone near each other and probably for that collaboration, it sounds like, which I would guess, and maybe you could tell us more, is that Is that normal to have like nowhere to go for guest actors or for any actors for that matter, or everyone kind of stay there? Is that normal on sets, or is that kind of unique to Seinfeld where that collaboration?
No, it's not normal. No, you always have a place to go usually. And like I said, I would have retreated. It would have been too overwhelming for me, but instead I got a master class in comedy and watching them rehearse and it was amazing. I was so grateful for it afterwards, even though I was kind of a little uncomfortable, and I'm also not a morning person. So I was always tired, you know? But it was really amazing. And it is not normal. I've never seen it before.
Interesting.
Yeah. And like you said, this was season 8. You said you were watching from the beginning. So there had to be, was it excitement? Was it, you're on set with, you know, essentially your favorite show, it sounds like. And then you're meeting Jerry and Julia and even Mike Moffitt, who was at the parking, you know, the parking space and the whole thing. It must have been kind of surreal for you, right?
It was surreal, but, you know, I was getting down to the work. You know what was also really interesting? I remember in the audition, they laughed all the time. They laughed at everything. But once I got to rehearsal, I realized that the other guys were such comic geniuses that I had kind of been making jokes, behavioral jokes in the audition. And it was sort of hard to get the laughs again, because the behavioral jokes I was making were just not hitting as hard as their comic genius, you know? And so it was a good lesson in learning how to sort of be their straight man as well. Whereas in the audition, I had gotten laughs and I just wasn't getting as many in the scene. So it was really good for me to learn to, because I'd done a ton of sitcoms before, and a lot of it is about, you know, get the laughs, but it was just like a great lesson in learning to, just let them do their thing and just go along with it and just act with them, you know what I mean? And not even feel the pressure to have to hit every joke or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's interesting too. Yeah, I think that's speaks to your, you know, your acting and how they are on set to allow for that too as well, and not just push for joke and make sure there's a balance and you're playing off each other. Speaking of playing off each other, I know we talked about Jason. Your other kind of scenes there were mainly around with Michael Richards, who we've heard some great stories about too as well, as far as him on set and just working with guest actors and kind of being very, like you said, very welcoming and trying to allow them to try different things. What was your experience with Michael? Do you have any stories there with Michael Richards?
Well, I've seen a few of your podcasts and it's exactly the same as everybody else's. It's that intensity, rehearsing into a wall, you know, before he goes on. And he was lovely and just a lovely guy, but wow, he is rehearsed. He was just every second rehearsed, and then he got on set or on the stage and he didn't look rehearsed at all. So that's kind of genius. That's harder to do than winging it, you know, to just have every single minute perfectly planned out and then let it go once you're on a set. That's genius. That's really where the genius comes in. And that was him.
Yeah, Kramer was great in this episode. But I always wondered this, you know, you were Allison. What did Allison do for a living? I know she was always hooking Kramer up with these Knicks tickets, right?
I don't know. How did she get the tickets? I'm the sort of actress that did a little backstory, you know, like I was theater trained. And so, you know, I was like, but then I learned, you know, don't do all this endless backstory. Just do backstory on what you're talking about. So I don't think I ever talked about my job, so I didn't bother doing it.
Yeah, I always wondered if maybe something got cut or there was more to the episode, but no. So you mentioned you were theater trained and obviously you grew up in Australia and it sounds like you got your start with Sons and Daughters, which at a very young age. Tell us, Tell us how it all started. How do you get into acting, and then how do you end up obviously in LA on the sets of Seinfeld and Dream On and Muscle, et cetera?
Dream On was amazing. Well, I was doing like, I wanted to be a ballerina really badly. And then about the age of 9, the ballet school I went to had a little drama department added on. And so I joined that, and it was just like, you know, mucking around. And, but I really then got into theater, and I was always dancing. And then, I did a bunch of commercials and stuff like that in high school, when I was in high school. But then this is just a wild story. Like, I graduated high school, and 3 days later, I was cast on a soap opera. They were just looking for a certain kind of girl, and I just happened to be the girl. They're looking for like a really, I was pretty innocent, like an innocent kind of Debbie Reynolds kind of thing. Am I saying the right name? Debbie Reynolds?
Debbie Halliday was your character? Or?
That was my character name.
Oh, yeah, Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds, like
they were a Debbie Reynolds kind of girl. Yeah. And that was in Australia, the soap operas are, they're not every day. They're like a soap opera that you do 2 nights a week of an hour. They're very different. They're like the English ones. So I just happened to land this soap. And then my whole goal was to go to theater school. And so what ended up happening is I made the money from the soap for a year, and I auditioned in America to go to theater school. And then I was able to pay, because you have to show your first year that you can pay for yourself at any college here in America. I think that's the way it still goes. And so it was like kind of serendipitous that I was able to then pay for my first year of college, which was much cheaper back then. And so that's what I did. I left after a year, and then I came to theater school in California. I went to Cal Arts, and then I just never left, much to my mother's dismay. I just started doing theater, and then I got an agent after graduation, and I just kept going. And you know, it just took me the like obligatory 3 years, you know, waitress. I had 25 different waitressing jobs, and I cleaned houses, and I did all that. And then finally I got a pilot. And then the next job was the job I met Nestor, was Muscle. And then from then on, just, you know, started getting more and more work. And then I had babies and I stopped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the American dream right there. I mean, I think you summed it up, right?
Well, I have really big appreciation for America. I think I remember going to college and people saying, why are you in America? Oh, I'm like, oh my God, you don't know how good you have it here.
Right.
And I think I've always had that appreciation for America.
But right back at you, we have an appreciation for Australia. It's our number two most watched of the podcast. Australia loves us.
Yeah. Oh, so there must, yes, that's great.
There must be some infatuation with, shout out to our guy Gez, a big fan in Australia. But they love Seinfeld in Australia.
They love Seinfeld. And it's weird. Well, they probably love you two guys too, because you're just real guys. Australia, they have a big BS meter in Australia. They know they don't like fakes. But I think, I don't know. And it's so weird because it's just not a lifestyle. The Seinfeld lifestyle is a lifestyle that is anywhere in Australia. That kind of city living, diners, you know, talk about nothing. That is not an Australian thing at all. But Australians love Seinfeld. My dad was the biggest fan.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just that, just like you said, maybe it's kind of so foreign that it's like intriguing or something. Or maybe there's, I think it's the BS thing too, like you said, because that's one thing about Jerry as a stand-up, and Larry, obviously, as a creator, and the show itself, is there is no BS, right? The show is real life. It's true. Yeah. It's observational. It's, you know, they're not hugging all the time and lovey-dovey relationships and everything like these other shows might be, you know, like it's more just like cut to the chase kind of stuff and just real, especially the earlier episodes with Larry Charles writing and stuff. It gets real gritty and, you know, subway and New York City and that sort of thing. So yeah. I can see the appeal.
Australians would hate a very special episode. They wouldn't be into that. You know what I mean?
yeah. Like the lessons learned or whatever.
Right? Yes. Not the morning. Yeah. You know, they wouldn't like that. So yeah, it's they just loved it. And I also think it's just funny and it's just real people. And now TV is all about jumping into different worlds. So maybe Seinfeld kind of started that in a way because so many different countries were like jumping into that really specific New York kind of, like singles just doing their careers and being all friends. It was that's a great way of life.
But at the end of the day, I mean, like we always talk about, it's a show about friendship. It's a show about guys talking and relationships and the stupid things they do. I think everyone in some way can relate to that. So thinking of Seinfeld, and I always wondered this scene, just again, it's 26 years ago, I'll put you on the spot, but when George is on the couch and believe it or not, or that whole thing, like you call him, are you like just on the side doing that? Or is that actually like pre-recorded?
Yeah, we pre-recorded it, which is fun because I worked with Jerry during that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we went to a little soundstage and he directed me and it was really nice. That was fun.
You said you were on set the whole time. So were you there for the whole, it's called the Susie, but the Susie bit with Julia and Peggy and Peterman, the whole thing?
General Hurley. Yes, I was. And I knew the actress. I'd worked with her in theater. I'm terrible with names. You know, the actress who was calling her Susie.
Megan Cole?
No, you know, the one with the very deep voice.
Maybe it wasn't. According to IMDb, it's Megan Cole. But yeah, we could be wrong. I think
Megan Cole was her name, but maybe not.
Maybe she had a different theater name.
It's quite possible.
She had short hair.
Yeah.
She must have gone for a different name in the theater. That is so weird. I did a play with her. I did Shakespeare with her. She's a great actress.
That's great. So, I mean, what a small world, huh? And you just all of a sudden, you go from the theater to 32 million people on Thursday night. It must have been. So what? So that was season 8. We always ask the guests. There's always the season wrap party. Were you invited to the wrap party of Seinfeld? It must have been a pretty big event.
We were. It was at the.
Do you bring Nestor to something like that, or how does that work?
Yeah, I brought Nestor. Yeah, we were. Married yet? No, we weren't even engaged, but he was my boyfriend. We went to the Santa Monica Pier and everything was free and we could play any games we wanted and there was great food, beer. I remember seeing Warren Littlefield there. it was great. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that it's interesting the Jerry directing you with the that kind of voice recording in the booth. What was that like? Just that maybe that time, or just in general, Jerry? I know you touched on that story with Jason, which was great. But how was Jerry? Being there at that point, Larry David wasn't there. David Mandel wrote that episode, and he became a producer. Almost a few of those writers kind of filled in for Larry David's role, I think. From what we heard, but I mean, Jerry's still running that show, right? Jerry's the showrunner. Everything he has to touch everything that's going to get on air, pretty much, I would guess at that point. So I'm just curious how you watched from afar. I know you mentioned that one story with Jason, but anything else as far as working with the other actors or yourself, even where you can kind of see Jerry, dabbing in both worlds where he's like on screen so much doing his acting and then also kind of running the show behind the scenes, directing you in a booth. I mean, that's a whole thing we didn't even think about. Like he's got to take care of every part of that show, every scene, right? No matter how, where it's taking place or what's going on. But I don't know your thoughts, maybe just working with Jerry and just watching him kind of in action.
Yeah, he was very focused. He wasn't like the jokey Jerry. He wasn't, he was all business. Very kind, though. But no, he was like a focused kind of machine, because he had to be. He was just, he had to get it all done. So he was sort of just, it's interesting. Well, he just was getting it all done. He wasn't cold, but he wasn't like jokey warm, like, you know, kind of like jovial. He wasn't jovial. He was just getting everything done. The wild thing is, I saw him on that same lot while I was doing another show, and he was so sweet and jovial, and not like he was while that week was going on, but he just had a lot to do, you know? So he had no interest in doing anything other than the work, which I think he just had to do because there was no time. It was just all, he had a lot to do.
Yeah. Those last 2 years, I think he took on a lot more responsibility, and, you know, I think it, in the end, it probably took its toll. And, you know, like he always said, he wanted to go out on top. Did anything, I mean, you mentioned the ball and the backless entry, that whole thing, right? That whole storyline. Did anything change in the script? Were you going to do that at any point? Did they tell you, or was that always just going to, Kramer would do his thing, obviously, and you were...
He was always going to do that. Nothing changed. In fact, it wasn't like I didn't, a lot of sitcoms, everything changes constantly. I can't recall anything changing. I could be wrong, though. It's been a lot of years, but nothing major changed. No, I don't think anything changed. That was always as it was. The story was always as it was.
Well, speaking of change, you obviously, this after high school, you went right to, like I said, Sons and Daughters for 150 plus episodes, sitcom after sitcom, Muscle, Meeting Your Husband, Seinfeld, the whole thing, and you gave it all up, right? So tell us a little bit about the book, All Is Not Lost. And yeah, show it to us. You know our audience loves buying books, so let's get it out there. There it is.
That's my book. Yeah.
So yeah, tell us a little about the book. I mean, we've heard incredible things.
Oh, have you? That's really nice. It's a book about, it's a memoir, but I mean, I'm not worthy of really doing a memoir, but it's a memoir of a year in my life. And although it goes back and forth, but really what it's about is it's about giving up a lifelong dream in favor of your kids. And what is sort of lost in doing that, and what's gained. And basically that's about it. But I found that I chose to give up my career. And Nestor was doing really well too. But once I had kids, I was so driven. I left my own country to come here and go to theater school and work. And all of a sudden when I had kids, I kind of lost the drive. But once I actually chose to take care of them full time, something inside, like my whole identity was gone. And I felt like really lost and kind of like I had a big hole inside of me. And I didn't understand why, because I chose to do it. And so I just kind of, then we moved to Hawaii for a year and I was really away from the industry. And it was a very sort of healing year. And I journaled that year. And I kind of just wrote a book about these adventures we had in Hawaii, which was the most amazing year, but also how I kind of came back to getting my own identity again and kind of the pitfalls of having this dream when you're really young. And part of it was, I mean, I did become an actress because I went to theater school, but a lot of it when I was young was about being famous. And I talk about that and how that kind of screwed me up a lot. And once I gave all that up, I felt like I was kind of worthless. And the book is about sort of going through all of that and realizing, kind of just finding a new, like my own identity again. And it's got a lot of really fun stories along the way. And it's also set in the backdrop of the making of Lost. So that's so I do relate it a lot to Lost, like being on that island and so trying to get back home to yourself a little bit. But it's got a lot of fun stories about the kids and realizing, you know, sometimes how awful it is to be a mom and sometimes how great it is. And it's just like a real journey back to myself, to realizing that, you know, why did I have a need to feel so special all the time? And so, you know, most actors have it, but like, why couldn't I get back to just who I was and how I did it, basically? And yeah. That's the book.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's, it's incredible story. And I think it's very related. I think a lot of people can relate to that. Just, you know, even if it's not specific, I think generally speaking, just that idea of losing yourself and trying to find who you are. And, you know, it's very commendable to even, you know, put pen to paper and put yourself out there like that, you know? So I think, you know, everyone should definitely check that out. And thank you for sharing.
One of the big reasons too, I wrote it is like, I kind of wrote it because all my girlfriends were feeling the same thing. Like we were all feeling like, oh, we're in servitude to our kids. And then it's like, what next? What now? We've just given up all this stuff. And who are we now? So, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely can see that, especially from that perspective, for sure. And now your kids are growing. I'm assuming in their 20s, I'm guessing, right? Right? Somewhere.
I have a 21-year-old and they just turned 18.
And are they when they're on Netflix, are they binging Seinfeld episodes? Is that, we always love to hear those kind of stories.
Yeah. I think what Ralph has gone through is Seinfeld phase. Now my youngest one is into South Park. Deeply into South Park. So he'll probably get onto Seinfeld one of these days. But no, Robert's gone through it. And what is he watching now? He's doing all the, you know, beef and all the new kind of shows. But he definitely,
yeah.
They all know Seinfeld.
Nestor, a Seinfeld guy?
Oh, yeah. I think he's watched every episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've been in a ton of stuff, you know, walking down the street in Hawaii or LA or wherever. What are you, Seventh Heaven? What are you most recognized for? Or Allison?
Oh, yeah, I don't get recognized much. I mean, because I'm always the Nestor who gets really recognized for everything. It's very rare that I get recognized. And actually, sometimes Invisible Man, because that was on, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Seventh Heaven, maybe. I don't get recognized that much, actually.
Well, you get recognized by us, I tell you that. But, actually,
I 26 years ago, I wouldn't have guessed that. as far as when Seinfeld there,
it's a long time. I know.
And you worked with the great Adam West. Was that just one episode? God. Did he remind you of Jerry Seinfeld a little bit, or?
No, not at all.
No, I'm kidding.
You're being sarcastic?
Yeah, a little bit.
That was Chris's sarcasm.
I loved him. It was great. He died in the first episode, though, I think. Did he? Yeah, he was in the pilot.
He was only in that one episode, yeah.
Oh, he was great. I loved having said I've worked with Adam, but I was having sex with his son in the steam room and I gave him a heart attack and he died.
now that's a pilot right there. Holy cow.
I know. Funny that show didn't go, but
killing Batman. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It was so great. He was lovely. He was really lovely, supportive, fun. I liked him.
So, you know, it's been 26 years, but are there, do you ever bump into anybody from the, whether it's Jason, Michael, or even like Lee Ehrenberg, like we mentioned, or you know, Peggy, who you worked with?
Well, Jason, I don't know if he still lives in my neighborhood, but he used to live in my neighborhood. So I saw him a couple of times. And like that one time I bumped into Jerry, but that was soon after I'd done the episode. Nobody else. Although I do have friends that have been on it, the show. Oh, actually, my best friend, you have to get her on this show. She, Adelaide Vaughn, or she might have been Adelaide Miller at the time. She played the Tonya Harding.
Oh, in The Understudy, which aired today on this date.
Oh,
this day.
Yeah.
Yeah, she put in The Understudy, yeah.
She's great on this.
Oh, great. Yeah, we'll definitely.
We'll email you that. We'll get it set up. Awesome.
But yeah, she's literally one of my best friends.
Oh, wow. Who else? What other buddies did you have on?
Paula was on it. Paula.
Okay, yeah, we spoke with her.
Paula Marshall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now let me think. Adelaide and Paula.
On your Dream On, you mentioned you had a lot of fun on Dream On, right?
I love.
There was
it.
A ton of Seinfeld alum on Dream On as well, like Wendy Malick, Larry Miller. I don't know if you crossed paths with them when you were on though, but you had mentioned that. Yeah, I was wondering if you had any stories on that show, because that show, that's Crane and Kaufman too, who, you know, obviously went on to some things as well. But yeah. I'm curious, like what your
Well, I had a really good relationship with Brian. My episode, I did a two episode thing on that show. It was a double episode, and it was called Music in My Veins. It was such a great time. I played like a Courtney Love type rock star that he gets involved with. And for a while, he gets her off heroin, and then all her music becomes terrible. And he becomes her producer. And we sing songs about Wendy Malick's character. Called Hurricane Judith and Hurricane Judith and that the heart of the storm comes from Greenwich, Connecticut. Like we all these really bad songs. And then she decides that her songs are just awful when she's with him. So he finds her again shooting heroin between her toes and the relationship's over. It was just so much fun that we made like little rock videos and it was just, I really got along with him. We had the same sense of humor. And then, so I was on his other show, the Brian Benben Show. Was it called the Brian Benben Show?
His other one? I don't know. It might have been.
I don't even know what it was called. But anyway, I did
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're right. The Brian Benben Show. You're right.
Yeah. And I think I played a chubby chaser. He got really fat and I only liked fat men. And that was all on that. I just loved working with him. It was great. And this was a great role that they gave me. And they just gave me that role because they saw a bit of tape and they took a chance. It was really, really fun that I was able to do that.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, listen, you've had many great roles, like from killing Adam West to dumping George Costanza. You've done it all, but obviously your greatest role of all was becoming a mother. And it's, you know, you writing that book, I know it took a lot, but I think you're going to help a lot of people with that. So we can't thank you enough for joining us tonight, Shannon. And you live on forever in Seinfeld lore for.
Thank you, guys.
The scenes with Kramer and George are just incredible. And thanks for making us laugh all these years.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. It's a great podcast.
Thanks so much. Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah, happy birthday. 23rd,
I know.
Right?
I just looked it up today. It's on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy.